pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, a beautiful day given unto us. We take them so granted, so for granted, many times. And yet each day is a blessing. Every hour that we have on this earth is one given from you, and we understand that. We just pray you'd help us in this day, in this hour. We pray you'd watch over the business of Brown County at this point in time, to help commissioners and make decisions that are wise and appropriate. Be with all the county elected officials, where they all have large jobs to do and much responsibility. And we pray that our country would be brought together again. We are so upset about the direction of our country. We know that our country as a whole has rejected you, and I know there's a price to be paid for that. You blessed America 240-some years. We just pray for a revival of the good values from the past until we might get back on the right course again. Just now, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay.
Any additions or changes to the agenda? We have quite a bit to do today, so hopefully we'll move along at a good pace and be done. Because 4 o'clock comes, this meeting ends, whether it ends or not. 4 o'clock, so 2 hours. We never have a meeting longer than 2 hours, as long as I'm commissioner. But we can do it. I know we can. I don't have anything to add or change, Ron?
No.
Okay. All right, very good.
There's one change.
Yes.
Sandy.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
But before Sandy speaks, Mr. President, I just want to, this is more or less a public service type of announcement. I know sometimes we've got a little enthusiasm in the room, but this is the Board of Commissioners where we do the important work of the county. And so if you're not on the agenda, then you don't speak unless the president recognizes you. And if he does, and only he, then you come up to the podium and he'll tell you how many minutes you got to speak. So it's not a pep rally and it's not an open forum. Just a friendly reminder. Thank you.
Good.
First off, I want to say prayers to Tim. And then I want to apologize for my behavior at the last commissioner's meeting, which prompted me to do a little research. And what is the purpose of meeting minutes? You shouldn't be intimidated by the term minutes, since it's actually a little misleading. After all, your committee or board doesn't want or need a record of its meeting proceedings minute by minute. It's important to capture the essence of the meeting, including details as decisions made, next steps planned, and identification and tracking of action items. And then also, with Ron's suggestion of the recording the 91 pages as the minutes, you know, that's a lot of paper to use. You've got to have some place to put it, because we do keep the commissioner's records forever. And then I would just like to read a little bit of the 91 pages and then compare it to what I wrote in the minutes. At 35 minutes, 50 seconds, speaker one said, "So, Eddie, you'll always have the situation here in Nashville." Speaker one, "There's been a lot of buildings over the years and things been torn down, new ones built and whatnot." Speaker one, "So anyway, you're good on that." Speaker four, "I believe you made that second, the motion." Speaker one, "Yes, okay, any discussion?" Speaker one, "Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand." Speaker one, "Say aye." "All opposed?" "Okay, all right." And then it goes on and on. This is my minutes and the same thing. It says, "Ron wants all the contracts to be looked over by the attorneys. Motion to approve the amended service agreement between the commissioners and Melissa Stinson. Action approved. Moved by Blake Walbert, second by Jerry Pittman. Motion passed by a 2-1 vote. Two yes, Blake Walper, Jerry Pittman. One no, Ron Sanders. Ron doesn't like to vote on contracts without the amount stated. So, in my opinion, I'd a whole lot rather have names put on it. So in 2 or 3 years, you're going to go back and say, who is Speaker 1? Who's Speaker 4?
Who's Eddie?
Yeah, who's Eddie? So I just wanted to point out those names, and I am trying to do minutes the best I can. Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you, Sandy.
You did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
We've always appreciated your work, and my knowledge has always been satisfactory, if not.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Okay. Back to the agenda then. Okay, back to the minutes and claims. We have minutes from our last meeting, I think one set, yes. Have you had a chance to review those?
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions or comments at all? Okay. I'd entertain a motion.
Motion approved.
Okay. Second?
Second.
Motion second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Now to the claims. I have had a chance to look at everything that was printed out in the report that the auditor's office gives me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have double-checked that, and that is the same as the pile of claims that were presented. So there should be one and the same. Right. There's no claim in there that's not in the report or vice versa. So, and having looked at them, I don't find anything inappropriate about any of them. I think they all should be paid. But you gentlemen tell me if it's different.
I didn't see anything that bothered me. We'll get the other.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion.
Motion approved.
Second.
Motion second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Okay, we will move into the Plan Commission. We have rezoned property, the MUD property on the agenda here. You want to give us the staff report or part of it, or
okay?
Yeah,
I'll just touch on a couple of key points here, so you guys can continue on with the meeting. And after this, too, the petitioner is here. If you want to hear anything from her, have any additional questions for her. This property is located at 5324 Bean Blossom Road, on the west side of the road, 1,700 feet northwest of the intersection of Bean Blossom and Smith. The 5.62 acre property begins roughly 600 feet from the road. Petitioner is requesting the rezone from R2 to secondary residential to FR. The current plan structures as well as infrastructure is located outside of the 1% annual chance flood area. Adjacent properties along Bean Blossom Road are zoned secondary residential. Forest reserve zoning exists where there's no road frontage and the parcel begins more than 300 feet from the road. The property is surrounded by approximately 161 acres under the same ownership. There is health department approval 23-33760 on May 24th of this year. The permit includes three separate septic systems with two bedrooms each per system. If rezoning to Forest Reserve is successful, the petitioner plans to seek special exception approval to allow a motel from the Board of Zoning Appeals. The uses allowed in FR district that are not allowed in an R2 district are hotel, motel, travel trailer park, commercial animal breeding facility, kennel, and industrial uses. All of these uses require special exception approval from the Board of Zoning Appeals. And then staff findings, as surrounding properties are zoned secondary residential R2 and Forest Reserve FR, and the motel use requires Board of Zoning Appeals approval and oversight, staff finds no evidence that granting the request will have a negative impact on nearby properties. And I skipped over a couple of things, but I think I hit the pertinent information there. On July 25th, 2023, the Area Plan Commission considered this petition and voted with a 6-0 with one member absent to send a favorable recommendation of rezoning from R2 to FR.
Okay. Okay, so we're not building the Taj Mahal here, we're building a small operation with six units total?
Yeah, two existing, five units total.
Okay. And it's pretty much on secluded property, anyone here who'd like to object? Hearing none, does anybody like to speak in favor of us approving this?
Let me, can I get just a question on, right now, I mean, that's down the road about the whole hotel.
About the use is down the road, correct.
And I was just curious on what the concept is, just, I mean, I realize that's not a factor today.
Right.
But is that something that's going to be like a rustic cavern or something?
They're looking at like a fishing lodge type situation. It would be surrounded by the lake that's there on the property.
Right.
And I will say it is extremely secluded. When I went and took pictures, I couldn't hear or see anything anywhere.
Yeah, I go past it about every day. And I wonder what, is the relationship pretty good with the folks across the street there and the barn and the farmhouse and all of, you know, so that's great. And, I mean, it sounds lovely. But,
and there are two existing homes there now, and this will all be done in the PPA, but just so everybody knows, there are two existing homes. One of them is currently a tourist rental. It's got a special exception for that. So we would be utilizing those two homes, and then they would eventually be building three more small A-frame cabins situated around that, the lake.
Right. And I think one of the issues you have with some of the tourist home idea is the fact that it might be like close to somebody and there's like an intrusion on that. This is so well insulated and, you know, the privacy seems to be, you know.
Those guidelines are meant to keep the density down.
Right.
So that it's not affecting negatively or positively really to any of the neighboring properties.
Yeah.
Is what the tourist home guidelines are for. I checked with some
realtors and, you know, I didn't have anybody think was a bad idea. So, I mean, President asked if anybody had any objections, and you didn't get any, so, I mean, if that's, anything else?
They have some drawings here, elevations of the type of building they're going to build, very cute little A-frame, built one just like in 1976, lived in for several years, very happy there.
That was your hippie days?
Okay, is there any discussion? I'd entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Do I hear a second? I'm hearing a second, I'll second the motion. Any discussion? All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign?
Nay.
Okay. All right.
And then Sandy has a draft copy of the ordinance.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, do you have an ordinance number for this, or you get it or not? That would be 2023, something.
Thank you.
Okay, moving along, Access Brown County. I think we have Kim here today, but we need to take care of this anyway, I think. Nobody here representing Kim Robinson of Access.
Now, do you want me to discuss it? I spoke with him. This is their quarterly report. What you're looking at and what she's showing you at the end is what we, you guys allot, $30,000 a year for a grant, the grant match. So what she's showing you is out of your grant match, there's been $7,000 used in this last quarter. The other amount of monies is what comes from NDOT that runs the bus service, so, or the yeah, it's like bus service, the answer. On the access for Brown County, she said, if you had any questions, to feel free, but this is just a quarterly report that she has to have you guys to sign off on so she can pay it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. I think most of you know what Access Brown County is. It's a transportation service sponsored by us now. It used to be Johnson County. Very valuable service to a lot of people, especially older people. People can't drive. You go to the doctor or whatever. But it's open, I think, to anybody that wants a ride. The cost is nominal. I think it's a good program. We've had it for a number of years now, probably 8 or 10 years, I guess. And it used to be sponsored by Johnson County, and something changed. Anyway, they handed it to us to take care of, so we have a little bit more paperwork and a few decisions to make, but that's about the only difference. So I'd entertain a motion.
You're approving the 30 or the 7 something?
The 7 is a grant match.
And that's just for the overall operation
for this quarter.
It's more of an accounting circumstance more than anything. I mean, the money's already...
Yeah, it's already went to them.
Yeah, so they're just... Yeah, so... Motion to approve.
Okay, motion to approve. Here a second.
I'll second.
Second, motion to second. Any discussion? Question? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
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 See what they're doing. But there's a 7,000.
Yeah, there we go.
Shelter, we'll just have to, I'm pretty sure, increase the insurance on it. There's a couple other issues that I had questioned with the insurance, and I talked with him about it. As far as that section of property go, that's pretty much it.
Was that Larry Mayfield that you spoke
with?
Correct. Okay. So do I need to contact him as far as telling him that
Well, when you get ready to build, just the amount that you're planning on spending, I don't know, it sounded like it was going to be kind of a group effort and possibly free labor, free material. Once you get it up, you probably do need to put a price on the building in case there's an issue, it burns down or something, to where the next time you might not get free material, free labor.
Sure.
So we just need to adjust the insurance accordingly.
It sounds as though we wouldn't necessarily need to have a separate deed. Then I know it's confusing because a lot of the property that's at Deer Run Park has, some of it is listed, I think we talked about this before, some of it's listed as belonging to Parks and Rec, some of it's listed as Board of Commissioners, some of it's in both our names. So, but if legal says that doesn't have to have a separate quit claim, then I don't see as much of an issue at this point.
No matter what happens, it winds up belonging to the taxpayer of Brown County.
And I believe the county carries the insurance on the Parks and Rec.
Well, of course, my suggestion that you look for some volunteers for labor and some companies for donations. I know in the past that places like Shelby Materials has donated little concrete projects. Little sawmills donated some lumber materials, and so we might see what all we can take out of that and. We might get this thing done for little or no cost to the county, which would be a wonderful thing. But that is an asset that I'm amazed at every time I go up there. I don't go there very often, but my wife used to go there all the time. Because she was fascinated to stand there and look at that panorama. And she takes pictures every time we go. Every time I'm there, people stop there. I mean, there's always somebody in there. And it is probably probably one of the longest ranging vistas in the county. There's some in the state park that are really nice too, but it's right on the highway.
Right.
People stop there. There are picnic tables there. A wonderful place to stop and have picnic, eat your lunch, whatever, take a bucket of chicken. And I think it's something we need to take care of and maybe even promote. You know, it's part of Brown County, and that's why people come here to see the scenery and get away from it all. So.
Just before you build, let us know so we can see what the cost is and make sure we're covered on insurance. If you've got volunteers up there or whatever, you know, be in communication with Larry Mayfield on us so we understand exactly who's who and what's what and that
sure.
We're covered.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much and appreciate anything you can do to help us out here.
Thank you.
All right, guys. We now move to, on the agenda, the health department. And tell us the good news.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I wanted to let you know first that Tommy couldn't come today, so I'm here on behalf of the health board. And I believe Tommy sent you a letter maybe a month ago stating that the health board had set a positive recommendation that we accept the state funds of $168,750 for 2024. And you can either do that if you do agree to do it through a resolution or just with a simple vote.
What was the number one more time, please?
$168,750. And then what it is the state included local health departments in their budget for 2024, $75 million. And that number could change, the $168,000, depending on how many counties opt in for 2024. But that's the minimum that we can see.
It's high, and how many people want a piece of it in terms of the size of the piece?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was at president of the board meeting when it was presented by Miguel and on by Zoom.
We appreciate you attending.
And it was, it sounded great, but then you guys had put your heads together, and it's almost like, let's see, is there anything such as free money? And apparently you looked it all over and decided it was lovely, and so
exactly, yeah.
We appreciate your hard work on that.
It's really historic because it's the first time the state has included health departments in their budget. And then if you do accept it, opt in, we'll be getting the auditor to set up a fund and the account numbers.
Okay. I know it was suggested by somebody that it was hard for you to get a registered nurse to work for the health department, and that way, and it's all finances, you know, we couldn't pay them, so maybe some of that could go draw in somebody that you'd be able to get, you know, a key person in that role, but whatever decided.
Right, we have a, we were able to find an RN, and she starts on Monday.
Great, fantastic. Congratulations.
There's a 20% match along with that from the county?
There is not. And I know it's a little confusing, the state keeps saying a 20% match, but what they're saying with that is that they want a minimum commitment from the county that you will fund their 1159 fund at 20%, at a minimum. Now, of course, if you do that, we won't have a health department, so there is no matching.
No what?
No matching funds. It's all coming from the state.
Huh.
It's just the verbiage they use. I sent you a letter, email this morning. I sent it to Melissa to explain it a little bit more to you.
So we can, she said we do it by voter resolution?
Yeah, Mike Logan, I know you're
here.
Would you recommend a simple vote, or I have in front of me a resolution to be signed? One better than the other? Which should we do?
Resolution is always better.
Okay.
So you can go ahead and discuss it since you have a vote.
All right. I kind of thought so. Gentlemen, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but take a look. Here's what it is. Simple one-page resolution by the Board of Commissioners. That's a form. We just fill in the county and the names. That'll work perfectly.
And Mr. President, all three of you have received a copy of the resolution.
Yes, absolutely. With that, I would entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Okay.
To opt in.
Opt in.
Yeah, that's the terminology. Okay, very good. So I hear a second. Hearing none, I will second the motion to opt in Brown County. Is there any discussion? Question? I'll just say I became aware of this last fall, actually. And initially, I thought, is that like a good thing? Money from the state? But then, all you know, we always know when we get something from the state or the feds, there's always some kind of strings attached. So I was a little bit skeptical at first, but I went over very carefully, and I went to the Indiana Association of County Commissioners convention. They had an extensive seminar on it there, and basically they said, this is a good thing. You know, if you don't take it, you're just losing out. And, I mean, there's not really that much attached to it. Like you said, just this 20% of the 1159 or whatever. So, yeah, it's a good deal, and I think we should do it. So.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. I've entertained a motion. Got a second?
Yes. Yeah,
got a second. Okay. So, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All righty. Good luck.
Thank you.
Contrary to what some people might think, I really appreciate our health.
Well, thank you.
I mean, it's an essential part of life, and
yeah.
I mean, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. Right? Honestly, so you guys do a great job.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
I'll get you. Okay. they both have to be open for somebody to get out. There's a fire. And of course, we can't just leave the IT room unlocked for everybody to go through. So they've been locking the door. Well, fire marshal, you know, that's a serious violation because you have a locked door where there's supposed to be an exit. So we had to figure out how we're going to take care of that. We came up with the idea of just constructing a simple wall and walling off the IT room as a separate room and leaving a hallway there so that door could be open all the time. Both doors are open, so right on out. So we kind of leaned on our guys here with the hammers and nails and saws and everything, said, you know, you can build a wall like that? You're up, Chris.
Yeah, we're in process of starting to put the wall up now. Trying to keep 1 hour fire rating on the ceiling. We're leaving the door in place. We have the wall and ready to move the door around so IT can secure the office.
Very good. I haven't run into any complications with the mechanical or electrical or whatever.
We're going to have to do some rewiring on the lights. We've already separated. The light will be out the hallway. Put it on the can lights as you come down the hall to IT. We're going to have to move the three-way switching in the IT office to where the door's going to be. But other than that, should be that complication.
I'm sure you don't have a cost of what this is, but I can't imagine this be very much. You guys do it for free. We have to buy the material. No, you don't do it for free. We pay you. But that's wonderful. That'd be much cheaper than us hiring a contract.
When did they become free?
Yeah, I think we're about $300
of
material so far, just lumber. And,
so I don't think this
is drywall.
Any large issue. I don't think we need to vote on it. Just say, go ahead and do it. That sound right, Mike? Moga?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. All right. So, listen, we appreciate you guys. You always do good work. I was amazed when you got done with the changes in back in our office. I mean, it just looked like it was that way from the beginning. I mean, you guys do good work. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you very much, and good luck.
Talk to him about the drainage. And the bidding issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
The perimeter drain down at the jail was damaged by a tree root, rubber rooters jetted the thing out. We just to maintain the drainage, we pulled that back to jet out a few times since then. We've gotten one bid on digging that up and replacing about a 20-foot section of the pipe, and it was about $3,500. Don't know if we need to get any more bids. We have a hard time getting anybody to show up and give us a bid or get back with us after they've looked at it or whatever. So if we can do this for $3,500 without getting a bunch of bids, it'd be a lot of peace of mind for a lot of them.
Not to mention, this was something that the insurance company has already paid off on. It was actually a claim when it flooded the basement of the jail, and they told us to get that fixed. It needs to get fixed. That's been how long ago? A very long ago.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a root that went through a drainage system that made it flush out into the basement when we had a big rain.
Now, where the root came up right before the surge tank, it has two lift pumps in it. When the creek level gets high enough, it'll pump out of that tank and help relieve the water around the foundation. So that was getting plugged up before it got to the surge tank because of the penetration of the drain line from the root.
It roots growing into the pipe.
Yeah. So that section needs replaced going into the tank.
I was just going to say, I feel like too when approaching the topic of the whole bidding process, I feel like we need to have a high enough, if you've ever had trying to get somebody to come out and give you an estimate on anything, you can't get hardly one person, so it's very difficult. So I'd say on these kinds of issues, if we could do like anything under, say, like 10,000, go ahead and do it. Over that, it may be an issue on the accounting part of it, and then we could do that. But I mean, you can't get three people to come if you got a $700-800. I mean, good luck if you think you can get somebody, if you can get one person to come out and do it, you know, you're doing well. But
the only thing I add to that, anybody that's doing contractor work needs to provide proof of insurance.
What, Mike, on those types of things, repairs, what's the situation on required bidding or financial dollar limit?
So this is going to not just be for services, correct? It's going to be supplies and other things of that nature?
I think that's right.
Okay. And what did you guys say the number is expected to be?
Got an idea. You got a price of
$3,500
on
the line. Yeah, we'll have a price
of $3,500. Yeah. I'm guessing maybe less than $10,000 to get done, maybe. Hopefully.
So what does that come out to be, you're thinking?
Maybe $10,000 or less.
Okay. Then it'd be under that $50,000 limit, so let me pull up the statute right now for you guys.
Okay, thank you.
$50,000 is the limit on when you need to start buying quotes.
Okay, very good. I thought that's what it was. Yeah. It's for a lot of other things. So, okay, thank you very much. So, yeah, let's see who we can shake out to do the job and get a 10. Okay. All right, thank you guys. And once again, I just matter out if they need a vote on. Okay, so we'll move on to other business. No. Brad, got ahead of myself. Yeah, watch me.
So I passed out the job description. What I'm asking for is right now I have my jail service coordinator, Melissa Tatman, who's been doing great work for our jail and our community, helping reduce recidivism, get a lot of the services coordinated through the inmates, help them upon release. If you have any questions, read through that. If you have any questions, I have some more copies if anyone in the audience wants what her job description is. What we're asking for, the money is already there. What you're using the opioid settlement for is being funneled through Centerstone to pay her position. What we're asking, and I forward emails from Mandy Kennard from Centerstone saying that she agrees with this as well, that the money should just be made into a line item, that we have this position as the jail service coordinator, which fits what that money can be spent on. And that way it's a more direct line. If something changes at Centerstone, we don't have to worry about her position, keeping her position. It's a very valuable position to me, the jail, and the community. And I would like to safeguard that and her job to make sure that we have that and we can continue these services for this community. On the back page is what she does, her intake form. If you want to see that, that's what she does originally. This is a work in progress. We're still learning as we go, but we've been making some great success with this. And I want to make sure that I can keep Melissa there at our office doing the hard work that she does.
I've heard a number of people say, good position, we need to keep it, but let it get away.
Correct.
Yeah.
And as I said, the money's already being spent through that way anyway. I'd just like to streamline it and take out the middleman.
Very good. Okay. So this is a new job description, and have you all had a chance to look over?
Has this been sent to the people that advises them and looks at them? She would over a ceiling?
No, it is not.
Okay, yeah. It probably needs to go to them.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it, but I would like to get a review.
Okay. But that's fine enough, yeah. Yeah, we send it to Ms. Lori Celine at the Bank Earl and Shealy. She generally reviews all of our job descriptions for legality and accuracy.
It's been paid for through that. I mean, I know the job description has passed everything, all the muster before on everything. So when we developed this through the grant programs and everything like that, so I don't have any concerns with that. But whatever we need to do to make it right, I'm fine with that.
I would say all likelihood that we can send this, get it back for our next meeting, and approve it then.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, we just learned about county government, something that we didn't know for 20 years, and that is that the commissioners are responsible for basically for writing and okaying and approving the job descriptions for everybody in the county, not the county council. County council had been doing that for decades, and we found out that's not their purview at all. Their only purview is we send them a job description with a recommended pay grade, and they decide whether they want to fund it or not. And we'll negotiate with them on the pay grade, of course. So and that's how it works, and we'll get this moving.
This is Melissa Tappan. Obviously, she's not very shy. So.
I just wanted to clarify about the job description. So there's been several grants that's been applied for, right, this year. So through the Department of Corrections, and then one I believe Center Stone maybe probably spoke to you all about at one point a few months ago. And so there's no change in the job description. This was just the most concise, easy to read, quick format of it for you that I put together for this meeting, but the extensive job description is still standing and hasn't changed. Does that bring clarification? So that, I still have that copy, is what I'm saying. Nothing's changed. This was just a little
condensed. Yeah, send it to Laura Shealy, just so we make sure. Like I said, I don't have a problem with it. I just want them to
look at it. We'll do that, right?
I gave you one.
All right. We'll get it.
And as Melissa stated, we did with Mallory Rockwell, through DOC, we applied for a grant to fund this position. None of those positions were funded through DOC. So we are trying to find money to fund these positions and do things. I just don't want you to think I'm asking for money because I want new positions. I know the county's position, but this is money that has to be spent this way anyway through the opioid settlement money. So that's what we're asking for.
Okay, very good. I like those kinds of deals.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, absolutely. Okay, now we move on to Friends of Lake Monroe.
Actually, me. Hi. Okay. I'm Laura Wirt, Human Resources. I am actually on the agenda. I don't know if you got an old one. But we're presenting today the ordinance for adopting County of Brown, Indiana job descriptions because of basically what you had mentioned earlier where there was a miscommunication about council versus commissioners taking care of. So this ordinance helps take care of. May I just go ahead and read it for rote?
Sure.
All right. Whereas the County of Brown, Indiana is an equal opportunity employer, and whereas it is the intent of Brown County, Indiana, to comply with applicable federal and state of Indiana employment laws and regulations, and whereas Indiana Code 36-2-5-3, Section 3A, establishes that the county fiscal body shall fix the compensation of officers, deputies, and other employees whose compensation is payable from the county general fund, county highway fund, county health fund, county park and recreation fund, aviation fund, or any other fund from which the county auditor issues warrants for compensation. This includes the power to, 1, fix the number of officers, deputies, and other employees, 2, describe and classify positions and services, 3, adopt schedules of compensation, and 4, hire or contract with persons to assist in the development of compensation. And whereas the Brown County Commissioners wish to establish accurate job descriptions for county positions, now therefore it is ordained as follows. A, the Brown County job descriptions describe and classify positions and services and are adopted as the official job descriptions for all county positions. In the future, as new jobs are added or the adopted job descriptions change, new job descriptions shall be prepared or updated and presented to the county commissioners for approval. And B, all job descriptions written slash revised and adopted by the Brown County Council on and after January 1st, 2022 are hereby adopted by reference by the Brown County Commissioners. And so you guys have copies of them on your desk, and we need to get the ordinance number from that. Perfect.
Okay, Ron?
Do you have any questions? Yes, sir.
So we're going to approve the past job descriptions.
Correct.
2021.
Up to 21, or 22, all the way to 22. Would that not take care of the one with the jail coordinator also?
It, all of them.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, all of them. So everything that has been on and after January 1st, 2022.
So that job description with the jail coordinator has already been approved.
Yes.
So we can go ahead and go.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think we can take care of it today, sir.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hey,
do you guys have any questions?
That the new job descriptions all have to go through the commission.
Correct. Any revisions and new job descriptions or job classifications need to come through and be presented to the county council, or commissioners, for approval.
I'll let you read the ordinance number there, sir.
Okay. This is ordinance number 2023-08-04-002. Any discussion? Yes, sir. I'm here tonight.
Now, Chair Jim Clark. Question. You've got a new ordinance. Isn't there a process for that? Didn't it have to be advertised in the paper and there are two readings? I mean, you're just getting this, right?
Well, we're talking about it right now. We haven't done anything yet.
So, okay. Yeah. The so question you're asking is, does it have to be the ordinance read twice in a public meeting before we can vote for it?
Well, just the sequence. I thought you had one to get that, let people know that you're...
descriptions were already done in 2020. Most of them done in 20, new descriptions in 2021, which the council approved and did an ordinance and all that stuff. Well, then we found out recently the council shouldn't have been the ones doing them all these years. It should be commissioners. So now we're just correcting the ordinance in the right order.
Well, for one, I guess my question is, we paid a consultant that specializes in this area to review job descriptions, and they didn't know that was the responsibility of the commissioners, not the council, to approve, and then how long we've been employing these guys, for one. And the other, again, gets back to the ordinance. So you're revising an existing ordinance?
Mm-hmm. With correct.
Okay, so then my question gets back to maybe legal habit. It's just back to your process. Generally, I always thought on new ordinance, you've got to notify, put it in the paper. You've got to have two readings. People get a chance to provide input, and officers can provide input from what I heard. And so again, my question's on the process. Yeah.
Let's go ahead and ask legal.
Yeah.
Are you understanding the question we're asking, sir?
Yeah, asking if there needs to be two meetings to do this?
Correct.
I have not seen anything, I'm not aware of anything that requires two meetings for this specific ordinance.
You haven't seen anything that requires two meetings?
Correct.
Okay. Two readings in public. Okay.
Well,
I don't think that's...
I'll be truthful with you. I just now saw this. I just now saw the real thing. And I would like to hear a motion to table this for the next meeting.
I'll make a motion to table it, then by the 16th, make the second reading, vote on it.
Yeah, just to be safe, I don't want anybody to think we're trying to rush anything through or hide anything. We're not.
Okay.
I like to get things done expeditiously, if we can do it in one meeting, get it done, get it going. But on the other hand, we have to make sure that the taxpayers and everybody out there understands that we're doing our job, we're doing our due diligence, and I would like to have a little more time with this.
Can I make a motion?
Second. Motion and second, any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, thank you very much.
One question back to the job I'm asking for, since that job title's already been approved in the past, like Ron brought up. Is that fair enough to go ahead and ask that you guys take care of that now? I mean, Laura made up a really good part there. It's already a job description. She's been doing it now for almost 2 years, so it's already been approved.
I think it's all going to be fine,
okay.
But we're going to do a second reading on the 16th. Like I said, I don't have a problem with it. We're just going to make sure that we're absolutely 100% since we just seen it. And I think it'd be best just to wait until the 16th and finalize it.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything we absolutely have to get done today or cause any problems to go. Okay. Very good. Do we have the prints from the over here?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Okay.
Be more careful.
I will do that.
Hi, my name is Iris O'Donnell Belisario, and I'm the executive director for Friends of Lake Monroe. So we work in the Lake Monroe watershed, which covers Brown, Monroe, and Jackson County. And last year, I think we approached you guys about the concept of Lake Monroe Day, and basically we've decided that the third September, the third Sunday of every September would be Lake Monroe Day as a way to bring the three counties and the entire watershed together to really celebrate what's going on in the watershed, the amazing work that we're doing and other organizations and our local governments are really doing to help protect the watershed and the lakes. And so I have a list, on the second page is just a list of different events that we're going to be having, and then an update on our conservation cost share, or agricultural cost share program. So we are partnering with different people and providing cost share initiatives, or core initiatives, related to mostly agriculture. And so if you have questions about that, I'm happy to connect you with our staff member who's focused around that. But today my main ask for you is to declare Sunday, September 17th as Lake Monroe Day, so that we can share that all three counties in the watershed are kind of united around this idea and committed to protecting Lake Monroe. And I have a draft here, and I think that was also sent to you guys ahead of time. I'm happy to answer any questions or read that for you.
Okay. I like Lake Monroe. you know, I remember when they built it. And there was a lot of controversy at the time. The federal government took several thousands of acres of private land.
Elkinsville,
whole town of Elkinsville, very nice. Put underwater some of Brown County's best farmland. Many, many old homesteads. It was an emotional issue. But the result is a wonderful asset that we have. And, you know, there's a few times when I believe in eminent domain. Not very often, but that would be one of them. Because that's something that created something for the benefit of the most people. And for the most part, with a few exceptions, the people who were displaced were treated fairly well. There's always exceptions to the rule. But there were people who didn't want to sell their farm, they didn't want to stop farming, they didn't want to lose their homestead. And money wasn't the issue, you know. But that's part of the society we live in. I don't like laws either. I'm sorry, Brad, and back here. But, you know, we have laws because people can't work together to get things done. So we have to have order. God said there must be order. He created order. And we create chaos for the most part because we don't do what we're supposed to do. So anyway, I get too philosophical here. Yes, I'd be happy to make this proclamation, and we might just, want to read it?
Well...
Got a comment?
Yeah, I'm just looking at it. The proclamation actually has nothing to do with instituting any of these restrictions on farmers?
Absolutely not, no. So those aren't restrictions, that's, we're providing money to farmers to, if they want to incorporate any of those practices. So that is, we have a grant right now for the next, just about a year and a half left, where we have $90,000 to give out to local farmers to basically participate in any of those programs. So if there's a farmer who, let's say, wants to start using cover crops but doesn't want to take that financial risk, we will offset a portion of that to help make it more practical for them to try it out and hopefully maintain it. But that's not at all related to the proclamation.
This is pretty extensive.
What do you mean?
Well, it's just asking the farmers to do all this.
Oh, we're not asking them to do all of those. So this is just a list of different conservation practices that we will fund. And so typically, the farmers who approach us want to do one of them, and that's all that, those are just the ones that our grant covers. So that's kind of showing a menu of options, and if you're interested in one of them, then we have money available to help you make that change in your practice.
So how's that been received by the farmers?
I think pretty well. I don't work directly with that, so I'm more of our administration outreach aspect of the organization. But I think we have just about 30,000 of that allocated already in the first 2 months of advertising. And so we're definitely getting a lot of large farmers reaching out to us who are very interested. And I guess when I say large, I mean small-scale large farmers, you know. And we're partnering with the Soil and Water Conservation District to make sure that it's in alignment with the things that they're also working on within each county.
As far as I know, no farmer is being forced to do any of these things.
No.
Back in an earlier day, we had what's called the Agricultural Stabilization and Conservation Service, and they had programs like this for farmers. They would help cost share on building grass waterways, ponds, lakes, things like that. You know, things that would help control water and erosion. And, I mean, farmers love the land. You know, they're not out here to watch it all go down in the lake and grow. We don't want that to happen because then we can't grow anything. But, and so, you know, as long as this is voluntary, these are great things. Not everybody's going to do them. Not everybody wants to do them. But as long as they're not forced to do these things, it's still free country. So.
Yeah, no, that document doesn't really have anything to do with the proclamation. It's just there so you have an idea of what we're offering, and you kind of know a little bit more about our organization right now. So those are like that's our main grant program that we have running right now.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I want to read this proclamation. You want to read it?
Want me to? Yeah, I want you to. The proclamation says as such, whereas Lake Monroe has been, you want to read all of it?
Yeah, you're okay. A good reader.
Lake Monroe has been used as a drinking water source since 1967 and currently provides drinking water to over 130,000 people. Whereas Lake Monroe generates over $40 million in economic impact annually from recreational tourism. Whereas Lake Monroe and its adjacent wetlands provide critical habitat for wildlife, including the bald eagle. Whereas Monroe County has taken an active role in protecting the health of the watershed and the water quality.
That should say Brown County.
Okay.
I am so sorry.
That's okay.
Mine says Brown County.
Mine says Monroe.
Oh, I wonder if I gave you a Monroe County one.
Oh, I get a permit.
Mine says Brown County.
Okay. I got it's all Monroe County.
You have the wrong one.
Let me just substitute Brown County for Monroe County.
Oops, I'm sorry. I don't know how that happened.
Well, I tell you.
I'm going to blame the crutches.
There you go. I mean, you know, you got to get sympathy anyway.
You got the only Monroe County. We had four here, and I thought they were all the same. But I handed him the Monroe County. There's the Brown County.
Where are we? Brown County has taken an active role in protecting the health of the watershed and the water
provides recreational and scenic opportunities that improve the quality of life for those who visit or live nearby. Whereas Lake Monroe provides recreational boating, fishing, and hiking opportunities to residents and visitors. Whereas Lake Monroe and its tributaries provide recreational and scenic opportunities that improve the quality of life for those who visit or live nearby. Whereas over 50% of the Lake Monroe watershed lies in Brown County and includes Salt Creek, Knollbone Creek, Greasy Creek, Yellowwood Lake, and Sweetwater Lake. Whereas the Brown County Commissioners continues to support community action related to watershed planning and the watershed plan implementation. Whereas we recognize the importance of Lake Monroe and make a commitment as a community to protect and preserve the lake and its tributaries. Now, therefore, we, Commissioners of Brown County, Indiana, do hereby proclaim the third Sunday of September, Sunday, September 17th, 2023, as Lake Monroe Day. How's that?
Oh, boy. I guess we could take a vote and adopt this proclamation. Want to make a motion?
Motion to adopt.
Yeah. Ronnie, can you second? No? Okay. I'll second the motion. All in favor, raise your hand. Say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. Thank you for coming over. We appreciate it. Moving right along. Let's see. We got... talked about this a bit already, but the Homeland Security Report update. I don't know if Michelle Noyes here.
She's not.
Not.
All right. You travel safely. Watch your step.
Be more careful.
Anyway, that's back to the audit from the Homeland Security Report update from the fire marshal about the issues with fire shooters. Extension cords and go downstairs. We already talked about that, so
okay.
Good there. We asked for a generator for this building, not this building, EMA building, a year and a half, 2 years ago. And a certain company was retained to provide that and was given an amount of $6,000. That particular company never produced anything. And so we had to get another company to come in and actually do the work and provide the generator. We asked for a refund from company A, and initially there was no response. And then secondly, he offered a refund of $4,500, but not the full $6,000. With the, I guess he called it the premise that he had already spent money and done work to obtain this generator. Well, we didn't get anything, so I don't think we owe him anything. We've sent him letters. We've had legal send him letters. We've given him multiple opportunities to talk to us, to work out an arrangement, and nothing. He will not talk to us. So I see Mike Mogo, you sent him one final letter. Is that right?
Yeah, we've already sent the final letter, yeah.
Yeah, okay. We don't hear from him by, I think, August 26th. I will go to small claims court and file a lawsuit. I'm not going to stand for the county to be policed.
Oh, boy. I agree.
Okay, moving right along, service agreement for cleaning services. We've had the same cleaning service, I think, since 2016. Been happy for with them for a lot of years. We've had some complaints lately that things are not going well, and so I said we should probably put out a request for quotes to see who else is out there. We don't know for sure we don't know whether the price we're paying with the current company is in the ballpark or not, but we don't have anything to compare it with. So it's been too long. It's been 7 years. So we did ask for some proposals. We got two back. We got one from the current company, and we got one from another company out of Greenwood that is already doing a number of county properties here as we speak. So get one bid. I mean, I know it, and that's what I consider this, even though the current company put in a bid, they're with us, they're already here, so we've only got one new one. Sort of like back to the courthouse, we got one bid in December. Well, I don't like that. I like to see at least a couple, more the merrier. So I want to keep this on hold. I want to put out another request and see if we get anybody else interested. I was impressed with what I learned about the company that we put in that we don't have right now. I believe they're doing the music centers and other properties, and people seem to be real happy with that service. So, and that's what it is, it's service. I mean, that's the only thing you got to sell. You know, it's a service business, so if you're not doing the service to our satisfaction, then something needs to change. So, I'm not going to go into any detail or discussion about the companies or anything like that at this point in time, but we'll continue to try to procure. Yes, Mary?
Jerry, actually, we've been complaining about the current cleaning people for several years. I don't know if it ever went anywhere. In fact, I also talked with the owner of the cleaning company, and he was extremely defensive and confrontational, which, you know, nothing changed after that either. But I just wanted to make sure that in the request for bids that we ask for window washing, because I don't think that this current company has ever washed the windows.
Right. We actually paid another company to wash the windows at the courthouse.
Yeah. They're so blurry, we can hardly see out, really.
We will certainly add that to the proposed duties of the...
Great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. Hopefully we'll get that working better.
Only thing I'm looking at here is a certification of liability insurance. We went over that with another issue here a while back. And I do believe that they need to provide workman's compensation and employee liability. I believe it does need to be listed there. I believe the conversation I had with the insurance guy yesterday, that he confirmed that they probably should have proof of workman's comp.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
I'll throw that in there.
Yeah, okay. It's an issue of if you're actually employing people. If it's yourself going out and washing windows, you don't have to have it. You could have it, I guess. But what happens if you fall off the ladder and break your neck or kill yourself? It's yours, you know. And nobody can come back from it. But if you have employing people, if they get hurt on the job, they're entitled to workers' compensation coverage.
And I think if it's a one-man operation, they're not working with the state, but they can file the next exam from that and do the workers' comp. But I don't think that's the case here.
No. So, yes, because that opens us up to liability if the company owner doesn't have insurance and they get hurt on our property, then they get up. Yeah, I agree with you totally on this. Okay, let's move on to update the service agreement for the commissioner's services. Recently, we obtained the services of the former employee to help out with the budget and some other duties for the commissioners, as we currently don't have a commissioner assistant. And we did make some changes to that original service contract, and so we need to review that and approve any changes.
So the only changes that there are is instead of having everything listed, Mike actually updated the service agreement, and Mike, do you want to tell him what you added or changed?
To clarify, this is a new contract that's going to be entered into between yourself and Melissa, and it involves broad administrative duties as requested by the commissioners.
Okay, yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
Everything else, the payment and all that, is still the same.
All right.
For the public, what is the payment?
$25 per hour. At 1099, I'm not an employee.
Is that 40 hours a week, full time?
No, I've not bid. I don't think I've done over 30 hours a week yet.
As requested by the
commissioners. So what they can request me do, I come in and do. If they don't have anything for me to do, then I go on.
So are they paying me $1,300?
This is the same, this is exactly the same thing we did with the exception of description of services. The provider will provide daily administrative duties as requested by the Brown County Commissioners.
Correct.
That's the difference.
Yep.
And this is not an employer-employee relationship. It's strictly a contractual, a 1099 would be issued in the year of W-2.
Hand that to Blake, he's got his name on it.
So, that's what she gets. An hourly rate, nothing else. No benefits, there's no nothing. Just, that's it. We give her a 1099 at the end of the year, and she has to pay taxes on that, or it comes out for her, so.
Right.
Which I think if you actually look at the county employees, there's probably hardly anybody that's working for that rate. When you take in the benefits.
Yeah.
Okay? So, we're going to argue about that, but it's.
Yeah, I know.
Not a.
Both the gals in my office are.
Not a big issue, but.
No.
Okay.
Disagree, it's a big issue.
Motion to approve the service agreement.
Do I hear a second? Hearing none, I'll second the motion. Any discussion?
Yeah, Terry.
Yeah, Jim Clark, yeah, I got a question
here
to you and directly to the legal. I'm just real curious, former IRS guy here, when it comes to the service agreement, how is that determined to be independent versus an employee? Because you're basically telling them when they're going to work and where they're going to work and what they're going to do. How's that different? How's it contracting those responsibilities different than what you would assign to an employee? And would the IRS consider that truly self-employment or a way around that self-employment by doing the 1099 so it has more of a,
I know there's a
legal
tests,
tax question.
There are tests for that.
Thank you.
We do not tell her what hours to work or how many hours to work. We certainly suggest things we need done. I mean, she doesn't know what to do. We don't ask her to do certain things. She doesn't have to do anything we tell her. Not like an employee. An employee can tell them to go do this or this or this. We don't tell her what to do. We say, we would like to have this. We need this done. Okay? So I don't know. It gets tricky. Mike Mother, talk to us.
No, what you said is accurate, Jerry. You kind of hit the nail on the head there. This is, you know, employee, there's other requirements involved, but this is going to be an independent contractor.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Chris. Yeah, I got a question about the contract. Is this something that has to be opened up to the public?
It is not because it is a service.
Very well. Thank you.
Okay.
The only thing I'd like to be considered is, from what I remember, I used to get 1099s, and what you're saying is we don't tell her what to do. The other part of that is I don't think we're supposed to furnish any tools or equipment or supplies. I think the independent contractor is supposed to be somewhat of a self-starter, furnish any of the tools, computers, that they use in it?
I don't know that we were actually furnishing any.
You care to enlighten me, Mr. Mogul?
Whether or not this is going to provide tools, there's nothing in the contract that requires her to provide any tools, but there's nothing in the contract
the
that requires us to provide any tools. So
using our computers?
Yeah.
My computer, she's not using yours.
Well, the reason why I use his computer is because you don't want an independent contractor to come in here and hand him a laptop and download everything that the county has on it and give them operational emails and be able to look at your finances and all of that from their independent laptop. You want them to have security. I can only use that because I'm sitting at his desk using it for what you guys want me to do.
But you have a county email address that you're using.
Yes, because they requested me to use it. So
you're using a county computer with a county email address.
Excuse me, Mary, please. This is not a forum for discussion amongst people. Everything is directed to us. This is our meeting. If you have something to speak, I want you to come to the microphone.
Okay, well, I...
I don't want you to talk to anybody else in here. You're here to talk to us. And we're here to listen to you, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you. No disrespect.
If you'd like anything to say, please come forward, okay?
My brain just works that fast, sorry. I'm reactive.
So if there's anything the commissioners would like changed in that realm, I do not care. It doesn't bother me either way.
We've got a motion and a second.
Yeah. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Scudder.
Aye.
Second.
Aye.
No. All right. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Okay. All right. I think we're going to get it done here before supper. A little update on Indian Hill. This is an ongoing old business topic. Not really a lot to say at this point in time. Your Board of Commissioners did file a petition with NDOT, Indiana Department of Transportation, to open a new crossing where the old Indian Hill crossing was on Indian Hill Road. And that is being considered, I think, at this time by NDOT. And I think they have a certain period of time to respond to us and tell us, I think, what they'll do, whether they will, and how much it costs. Is that right, Mike Mowat?
Yeah, so they had, I believe we already mentioned this to the county, but we had a 30-day stay on the petition process in order to negotiate with the railroad, to which we got a quote on what a private agreement would be. For that, the county has decided to pursue the petition further, so that stay is now over, and I don't have in front of me how many days they have left, but like I said, Jerry, they're in 7.5 days where they're going to have to make this decision.
Right, okay. So, stay tuned.
Yeah. Yeah, Jerry, Tim Clark. Hey, on that, hasn't the county, the railroad provided response to NDOT, and then we had a certain period of time, 30 days, I think that was extended 2 weeks, to provide a response. The county could provide a response to the railroad's reasoning for not opening. And I think, Mike, I've got a copy of it. Maybe that's not official, but the KHTA provided a pretty robust counter to the railroad's position, as did, I believe, the county. And I've got copies of both documents. I don't know if that's been released yet. But Mike, didn't you guys just file a response to the railroad's counter?
Yes, the county has filed a response to their objection.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. So, as I said, stay tuned and see what happens. I said from the beginning, I thought it was a flip of the coin, whether that gets flipped again or not. But there's a lot of pros and cons. I understand everybody's position on it, but not real clear for it. Anything else to come before the commissioners today? Ron, do you have anything else?
Just talk briefly about the AC units. I didn't want to hit them when I was in here, but the last conversation I had is they got up there and they cleaned them, they changed out some switches. Told them to go ahead and get another can of Freon, and they seem to have them up and running. I communicated with the sheriff. We're kind of in a pickle here. As far as if we was to try and get the money to do that, it would raise people's taxes. The loan will be paid off January of 25. We can possibly borrow money. What we're looking at is possibly, if we can, to make it the next 3 months this year, 6 months next year. Just one of the AC units that they're struggling with is probably the most expensive one. It's like $63,000.
Wow.
And that's not counting shipping or startup fee.
it's a pretty complicated deal. I don't have all the answers. I'm on the, I believe I filed something with the auditor's office. Will I be on the county council to go talk to them? I don't know where the funds would be to do this. I believe you identified $75,000.
Yeah.
There may be some more. I believe Baker Tilly is coming Monday. Do you know what time she will be here?
I do not.
There, if she's going to have time to talk to us about that, to see if there's any other possible money. But then, you know, before the day is over, one of those units could totally blow, and we'd have to move forward and take care of it. Another thing is if we spend money now on replacing a unit, and then we go ahead and try to do the rest of them, are they going to be compatible?
Right.
Are we going to have to backpedal and say, well, yeah, we put a few units in, and they're not compatible with what we've got to do when we do all of them, because the systems have to work together. So I believe we're in a holding pattern. I believe we need to probably limp along the best we can, but if something happens, we'll have to do what we have to do.
Yeah.
I just don't want to blow $100,000 to $150,000 and then have to add that on the ticket again.
You said they got them all working. We knew one unit wasn't working that
long. The last conversation I had, they got them up and going.
One of them was running about, it was on half. There's two compressors in it, one compressor was out. The other was still working, so it was actually working. But
the conversation I had was they had them working to where we could limp along.
Okay.
Does that sound correct, Sheriff?
Yes, sir.
And as I understand, those are R22 units, which is a refrigerant that's being phased out. You can still get it, but it's extremely expensive. It's like $1,500 for 30-pound cylinders.
$1,400.
So, I mean...
And I did tell them to go ahead and order one.
Yeah. I mean, if worse comes to worse, and we have a unit, let's say it develops a leak, we lose the Freon, we could put the Freon in and get it going again. It's not what we want to do.
After fixing the leak.
Yeah, after fixing the leak. So, yeah, I mean... I don't really how worried to be about it. You're 17 years old.
Anything can break at any time.
Anytime.
Brand new can break.
That's right, exactly. And, you know, some units run 30 years, no problem. So we'll just thank you. We need a little more time.
Legal, Mike?
Yes.
Do you have anything for us, sir?
Nothing else that.
Blake?
Good.
You good? I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
Motion and second to adjourn. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Thank you all for coming this afternoon. Yep, we got done in an hour and 20 minutes.